A worldwide movement is changing how we talk about death. Death cafes invite strangers in to share a coffee and open up about death and dying. There are currently over 4,000 death cafes across the world in 48 countries. They aren't necessarily tied to one location and they take place at lots of different cafes around the world. But what they all have in common is a desire to offer a comfortable, safe space to talk about the end of life. Zoe Ferguson has more.
Depending on your culture, your relationship to death and dying can vary hugely. For many of us, death and dying is not something we're exposed to. We don't really see it, talk about it, or understand it, and that makes us fearful of it. That's what the Death Cafe experience is seeking to change.
Around the world, it's this whole social movement, which is very much about creating a space for people to just have a conversation around it. What I really like about it is that it's a real equaliser. We all have our own experience.
Julianne Hilbers used to work in the health sector, and now she's a community psychologist researching how different communities deal with death.
This movement is really driven because people are feeling separated from that whole experience and don't know how to deal with it. We see it every day on the TV, but we still don't have a direct experience, and that's keeping it at a distance.
She used to run a death cafe near a hospital in the suburb of Randwick in Sydney's east.
What was really interesting in that for me is how many health professionals actually came to the death cafe. I kind of made the assumption that health professionals themselves would be quite comfortable with it. Yet a lot of people had dealt with it in their work context, but necessarily hadn't dealt with it for themselves. And so it actually enabled them to have a space where they could do that and have conversations with people from all parts of the community. What surprised me was how kind of you walked away with it feeling good. And it was almost like you felt a bit more alive.
The idea of thinking about death to embrace life seems counterintuitive. But how can we really live if we're scared of the only thing that's certain in life, death? 3 years ago in Perth, Di Ingle's partner Peter was diagnosed with a brain tumour. They went ahead with surgery and treatment, but Peter went downhill fast. And within the year, he passed away. Di lent on friends about Peter's death, and through them, she heard about a nearby death cafe.
There was a group of people who weren't afraid to talk about death, who all had different experiences in the dying process. They all came from different spiritualities. Some people had no spiritualities. It was just a really interesting afternoon, a conversation. I also think that it helps the grieving process, talking about it.
The organiser of that death cafe was Vicky Barry.
Consider my life quite precious and I want to make it meaningful. Yeah, I live life really with a whole lot of energy and I don't waste a moment.
But like many of us, Vicky went through a traumatic time that put her life in perspective.
Probably a very big turning point in my life. I was only 17 when I had a very serious car accident and I was left 20% body area burn, but 10 seconds and the car exploded. I was lucky to get out alive and a very good friend of mine had actually pulled me from the car. Sadly, about 9 days later, my dad was admitted to hospital and diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he died a year later on the very same day that I had my accident. And also in that year, and it's giving me goosebumps talking about it, my friend that saved me got killed on a motorbike accident. So, you know, a really tough year. Pretty devastating, to say the least.
In 2014, Vicky decided to start a death cafe in Perth. She wanted to begin a conversation in a safe space where people would feel comfortable sharing their stories about death and mourning. This model started in Switzerland, where Bernard Sitar started the concept of Café Mortel at an exhibition called Death for Life in his Geneva Museum. Now it's spread to Australia, where at least 200 death cafes are operating, and new ones are popping up regularly. For Vicky, the people who come to her events are varied, as are their intentions.
I think most people would come with a very open, curious, like they're just keen to know what others think. I never know what we're going to discuss because there is no agenda at a death cafe. I love it when I get someone who comes, and I've had a few, who you can tell they're not willing and they're not comfortable. By the end of that 90 minutes, they have become so enlivened and energised. It's just amazing. So there is something about having that conversation and overcoming those fears and realising there's actually a lot of good that comes out of those conversations.
But she's noticed that it's mostly women who attend.
Mostly I do get women. I probably get about 1 in 5 men, which I think is great, but they do tend to be quite reserved, more observers than contributors. But when they do contribute, I think it's very powerful.
Martin Vanderwall is one of the few men who attends Vicky's Death Cafe, and he's been going since it started.
The obvious issue for me is that I'm very, very rarely are there any more than 1 or 2 other males in a group of, say, 15 or 20. And I think that's very sad. And I'm not sure what we can do to encourage more men to get involved.
After losing many of his family members over 3 years, the Death Cafe became a precious space for Martin to talk and to listen.
Death cafes give us a chance to be comfortable, if we can, about issues of end of life, and also maybe to share and hear from other people who have similar circumstances. Basically, I think when the issue is raised, people tend not to shun it. It's just that it's very rarely raised.
The hardest thing for some people is to talk to our loved ones about how they want to die and what they want to happen to them after they die. Dr. Richard Chai is the Director of Palliative Care at the Prince of Wales Hospital in Sydney, and he says this isn't happening enough.
And I think that's what our death-denying society, and I have to say death-denying health system, also promotes as well, that we are afraid to talk about dying. We don't want to point the bone, because if we have that conversation, then death will occur earlier. Then that obviously is a very, very big myth. Culture teaches us not to talk about dying.
Dr. Chai regularly has to speak to patients about how much time they have left to live. And of course, that's hard to hear. So to help process that information, death cafes can be a great setting.
Where some people recognise that life is finite, but want people to understand their views, but also use a death cafe to actually understand what the views of other people may be. And by having the same conversations, the same thoughts, then patients and their families recognize that the thoughts that they are having about dying are normal thoughts to have.
That's Dr. Richard Chai, Director of Palliative Care at the Prince of Wales Hospital in Sydney, ending that report from Zoe Ferguson. And if that story has brought up issues for you, you can reach out to Lifeline on 13 11 14.